Now to him who has loved us and has called us to be kings and priests through his own blood, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for meditation this morning was read as part of our gospel lesson, John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Thus far, God's holy word. In the name of Jesus, in whom we can rest securely knowing that he is our good shepherd, dear fellow redeemed. Do we have an entitlement issue? Have these last few generations gone away from personal responsibility and now expect everything and anything to be handed to them on a silver platter? Well, depending on what generation you're a part of, you might agree or disagree. But let's take the generational divide out of it. Do we have a greed problem? That question is much easier to answer. The examples of greed, whether on the personal level or the corporate level, are too numerous to begin even counting. And yet it pays to remind ourselves that greed can be present in our hearts as well. The same is true with entitlement, regardless of what generation we might belong to. See, it all comes down to a sin problem, something we all deal with. Greed and entitlement may or may not come to the surface of our daily lives. But does it rear its head in our spiritual lives? Well, the answer to that question is obvious. Of course it does, because of our own sinful nature. Today, our next theme in the sermon series, the I Am Sayings of the Savior, is I Am the Door. We will consider how Jesus provides us with a totally different mindset and solution to our entitlement and greed problem, spiritual or otherwise. Have you ever seen a sheep pen that was used in ancient Israel? There are some places today where you can still see where they still use the same design. A shepherd would pile loose stones in a circle to make the walls of the pen. But the walls didn't go completely around so that it was totally shut off. There was a small gap, a gate or a door by which the sheep would go in and out. And that opening was where the shepherd would lie down and keep watch over the sheep by night. This meant that any wild creature or robber who wanted to take the sheep for themselves would have to go through the shepherd first in order to gain access. This is the illustration that Jesus uses in John 10. He shows the failure of Jewish leaders who were supposed to be shepherds, protecting the flock of God. And yet instead of looking out for what was best for the sheep, they were filled with entitlement and greed. Rather than being shepherds, they were like hired hands guarding the sheep. The thing is about hired hands is that they are not reliable when the situation gets sticky. They have no obligation to keep this sheep safe other than receiving a paycheck. So when danger threatens, it's better for them to leave the sheep and escape. Rather than making sure the sheep are whole and healthy, they simply shoo them in and out of the pen in order to get on with their day. Contrast this with a shepherd whose sole responsibility is the sheep. They are the most important thing in his possession. When danger threatens, a shepherd does not run away, but runs toward the danger in order to protect what is his. The shepherd will take great care of his sheep. Know when one is hurt or missing. Even know them each by their names. For anyone with even the smallest of faith, it is easy to see Jesus' point. The Pharisees, who were supposed to be the shepherds, failed God's people. They allowed error, false teaching, and laziness to settle in. It became so bad that the people did not even recognize the promised Messiah walking before them. Sure, they saw this great teacher, Jesus, who performed wonderful miracles, but their hearts were muddied, so they couldn't see who he truly was. Do you see any similarities today? Let's take the church leaders in America, for example. Were they leading the sheep entrusted to them? Are they acting like shepherds or merely hired hands? It will not take you long to see how the latter has settled itself in to American Christianity. Their entitlement and greed have run rampant. Doctrine has changed from being, "This is what God has done for you through Jesus. Now this is what we get to do in order to show our thanks to Him." Instead, they change it to, "God is whatever you make Him to be. If the Bible doesn't line up with your truth, how you feel, well, that's okay. Make Jesus whomever you want Him to be." That seems a little harsh. I invite you to look and see what churches are teaching today. Even so-called Lutheran churches. Now, lest we fail to abide by the words of our Savior in Matthew 7, we must remove the plank that is in our own eye. It is not impossible for this plague of becoming a hired hand to settle in our own midst. The danger is real to become complacent, to take the easy road rather than the road that stands true to the Word of God. And that doesn't just go for the pastors and leaders in our churches, but it includes our personal lives as well. Search your own heart. Have you felt entitlement in your relationship with God? Felt like He owes you for everything that He has put you through? Or maybe you just don't want God exactly the way He reveals Himself in the Bible. It's just too harsh for your taste. You desire that God who hates a sin but loves a sinner. You want a God that can be bargained with. A God that is more like you. Guilty as charged. Not only is failure present in the role God has given us as shepherds of our own families or church family, but we have even failed as sheep in God's pasture. Rather than abiding in the shepherd, Jesus, as our door, we run towards the danger. We embrace sin rather than flee from it. How often has sin taken root in your heart so deep before you even realize it that anger or resentment rises, takes over your heart? How often is hypocrisy the norm? Easy to talk, a good game, but much harder to put it into practice, especially in private. We are nothing but dumb sheep who constantly wander from the safety and security
of our good shepherd. And yet, foolish though we are, corrupt though we are, impossible though we are, that has not driven your good shepherd away from you. It's hard to believe, isn't it? After all we do to disobey God, to flee from His refuge, to try and boil Him down to our standards, He still finds a way to love us. And that love doesn't even waver for a second. Now, don't get me wrong. This doesn't mean that God loves our sin, nor does He love us living in sin. He says in Psalm 5, "For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers." What this means is that God has done something to change us from evildoers to sheep in His pasture. And that is through the one who said, "I am the door. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus tackles our disobedience and foolishness as His sheep head on. He did so in the only way possible. See, Satan, our greatest adversary, threatens us with accusations. He wants to drag you down by your sin, disqualify you from belonging to God. But that is why Jesus, our good shepherd, the door, is our door. Remember how sheep pens were laid out in His day? The shepherd stands guard at the door so no predators can enter in. Every day, Satan prowls around seeking a moment to gain access to us. But Jesus stands guard at the door. Not only that, but He goes on the offensive. And He attacks Satan in two ways. The first way comes two verses after our text, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep." Jesus is no hired hand. He isn't even like a typical shepherd. He laid down His life for dumb, rebellious sheep like us. He died on that cross so that Satan loses all ability to accuse us of our sins, because they have been paid for by the blood of our good shepherd. They have been forgotten by the God of the universe. Jesus' sacrifice for you totally changed you. That is what made you a sheep in the first place. That is how He gathered you into His pen. You didn't just wander in. He came. He sought you. He delivered you from the very jaws of the devil and landed you safely in His righteousness. And that is how you know that Jesus died for all your sins. If any of your sins were left unpaid for, you would still be in the jaws of Satan. You would still be in the pen of hell, not in the safety of your Savior. But no, you are safe in Jesus. You do not have to be afraid of that one particular sin that has dragged you down before. You don't have to worry that it was left behind, that it was left unpaid for. The blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, cleanses us from all sin. From those sins of entitlement, desiring to make God who we want Him to be. Those sins of disobedience when we wander aimlessly away from Him. Those sins of utter stupidity where we know better and we do it anyway. Your good shepherd laid down His life for each of those sins and more. That was a price it cost to make you His very own. And now that we are sheep in God's pasture, we see clearly how Jesus attacks Satan head-on in the second way, as our door. Before a shepherd lets a sheep out of the pen to go graze in the pasture, he inspects each one. He makes sure they are whole and healthy. An injured sheep out in the pasture is like a beacon that can attract predators and other dangers. It means almost certain death. And the shepherd does the same thing before letting the sheep back in the pen at night. Each individual sheep passes under his careful, caring eye so that any injury might be discovered. And if there is said injury, well, the shepherd will take extra care to watch over that sheep to keep any harm from coming to it. Satan actively seeks out those sheep in God's pasture that are injured. Those who have wandered away from the herd, or those who stumble around in their faith life. To him, those are easy targets to lure away from the protection of the good shepherd. Lure them to a cliff that once they fall down, they can't get back up. If that is you, or if that has been you, take comfort in these words of your Savior. He is your door. Every day you wake up, He is watching over you. He can look into your heart and see and understand the pain and the struggles you deal with. Every night that you lay your head on your pillow, Jesus sees and understands the stress and anxiety that is on your mind. You don't have to hide it from your shepherd. He already knows. But our good shepherd does more than just know what is on our hearts and minds. In Hebrews 4 it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He knows what you go through because He lived a life just like you and me, without sin. He faced sorrow and pain, distress and temptation. But every time He confided in His Heavenly Father, He overcame those things by trusting in God to deliver them from Him. And yes, this was an example to always go to our Heavenly Father for help. But it's more than just Jesus giving us an example of what to do. It means that as our Good Shepherd, as our door, He knows exactly how to direct our lives for our benefit. He knows the right people to bring into your life at the right time. He knows the right scripture for you to read that answers that lingering doubt. He knows what pastures to lead you to so that you can feed your soul, strengthen your relationship with Him. Comforting. There's hardly a better word to describe what Jesus' words mean to us as His sheep. We can rise each morning, go to bed each night with a peace of mind, knowing that our Savior, our Good Shepherd, is watching over us and caring for our every need. What more do we want? What more do we need? I am is our door. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.